Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show. Look out the bright lights. Look out the bright lights. With tonight's guest, integrated wellness coach, speaker, and author, Stacy Robbins. Look out the night sky. Look out the night sky. And musical guests, Caleb Robbins and Alan Busti. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been so looking forward to this show for many reasons. Of course, because of the conversation we're going to have and the people that are here today and all of that. Also because for the past few weeks, there have been things happening that I've said to myself, this has got to be a monologue. And I haven't been able to use them. And so today I'm going to get to use two of them because they fit right in with the title of the show, Living an Unconventional Life. And so the first thing that happened that is so unconventional, well, this isn't so unconventional. I was at a dinner party in a particular town near here where there are some very wealthy people that live there. And I was in this big, beautiful house and this big, long table with all of us sitting down at dinner. And so the conversation went to the chief of police of this town. And a couple people were saying how they were suing the chief of police and there were some court cases against the chief of police and the chief of police had done this and the chief of police had done that. And then at one point, somebody at the table said, you know, who is this guy? And how did he get elected? And the couple that was talking about this said, he? It's not a he. It's a she. And I sat there thinking how interesting that everybody that didn't know that was sitting at the table was just assuming that the chief of police was a male, and that the person who had done these things was a male. And I thought, that's a conversation I'd like to have on our show. And in a sense, we are, because we're going to talk about things in a very unconventional way. We make assumptions, and everybody at that table, if that one person had not said, he must be, maybe so many of us would have left thinking that this guy was the chief of police, and he had done all these things. So it's interesting, fast forward to last week, actually, I got invited to an event at the Consul General's office, the Australian Consul General's, not office, but home. And so I was there along with everybody else, and we were waiting for the Consul General to speak at one point. Now, I've been to Consul General homes before, and I've met several and sung for several Consul Generals, and they all have been male. And I stood there, and I watched two women get up on the podium, and I thought, oh, how funny. One of those is the Consul General. I just know it. And sure enough, one of those women was. And I thought, how many people here, if they didn't know, assumed that the Consul General would be a male. So when I got a chance to speak with the Consul General, Madam Consul General, I asked her that question, and she looked at me and laughed, and she said, can I tell you a story? Boy, was I ready for a story. Well, she didn't tell me one. She told me two or three of how people assume, and they ask her if they could speak with her husband, the Consul General, or they say to her, nice to meet you, where's the Consul General? Or they say, wait, you're the Consul General? But, and then she says, then sometimes they fix it and they say, but you're so young. And she says, I know what they were thinking. And I said, how do you take that? And that is a whole other conversation of how she handles the experience and how many of us handle the experience of the assumptions people make or of the kind of person we are or the kind of life we should live. And when it becomes tragic is potentially when we believe that we should be living the life that other people think we are supposed to live. So living the unconventional life with guest Stacey Robbins is the topic of tonight's show. Our musical guests, one of them is her son, Caleb Robbins, and our friend Alan Bousteed, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune. But you're so young.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, there's stories there. You know, this is, every once in a while, there's a show that we have that just can touch everyone, that covers everyone from one perspective or another. I'm really excited for tonight's conversation.
Agreed. And so we're calling it Living an Unconventional Life, and actually An Unconventional Life is the title of Stacey's book, and it goes on to say, Where Messes and Magic Collide. She is an integrated wellness coach. She's a speaker. She's an author. And we've added she's a parent, and not just a parent, but a very hands-on parent. As a matter of fact, she homeschools her kids. And the whole family is with us in the studio today, and it's a pleasure to have them, and a pleasure to have you here. Stacey Robbins, welcome to the show.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me and all the good, groovy work you do in the world to bring light and goodness.
Thank you. And you're so young.
Does that mean I have boobs? I mean, is that what you're saying? Yes, I am so young and female. You know what I love about those stories is it just reminds me of how we handle how unexpected situations, unexpected moments show us what's inside of us.
Nice.
And gives us an opportunity to see what's there and shift, because now it's to the conscious level. And that's what I love about when life shifts and changes on us, is it really shows us what's in the bottom, because we get stirred up. And so what's been in our unconscious, subconscious, comes up into the surface, and we go, now I see that. Now I can do something about that. And next time I can do something different.
For those of us who are conscious, to know that that's what's happening.
Yes.
So thank you for bringing that into the conversation.
And those of us that are young and conscious.
Yeah. And we're so young.
Yes.
And actually, I knew you'd love those stories because they're not only true, but they do exactly what you just suggested. And your book is full of stories that not only show how you handled life's unexpected moments, you also learned from them, but you also anticipated some, or you forced some to happen, or is that like an understatement?
Yeah, I mean, when I think of force, I think of that willful, young side of us rather than that yin receiving. And I think I have done some things that were by willfulness, and I'm going to push through no matter what. And I also think that I've created things in another atmosphere of intention that had two qualities that I really value a lot, and they are commitment and unattachment. Because I think that's the good magic in life, is to be able to hold the space of both, to be committed to your marriage and to be unattached at how everything shows up and how that person shows up, but you're committed. And so I think of that as holding those two beautiful spaces in right tension of how do I be committed so I'm all in, and unattached so that I'm not holding on so tightly that I'm manipulating the situation.
You know, interesting that you should go there, because I'm going to go someplace that we hadn't actually talked about.
This happens a lot in my life, so I'm right there with you. Whether I'm standing at the grocery line or on a plane, this is my life. So
yes,
shoot.
It is, and it's in your book, from what I've come to experience so far. But you grew up so right. This is not the way we taught you from an Italian heritage background.
What do you mean by that?
You had all the perfect upbringing. We taught you right. What do you mean unattached? With an Italian background,
yeah, that
you
doesn't
have to be attached.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you, this does not go over so well in my family. And when I was young, I had this understanding. I've had these moments of clarity, really spiritual, if you will. I like that word, that that conversation in kind of another realm of you, that where I got the impression that loyalty was more important than me living by my personal truth. Mm. So that means that if you're standing next to me, family member, who is kind of got some neediness going on, but it doesn't show up as neediness. It shows up as you, if you're loyal to me and you love me, you'll agree with me. Yeah. That's the way it showed up. And so if I'm standing next to you and we're both looking at the same sky and you call it purple and I see blue, if you say purple and I say blue, you feel unloved. That's going to provoke a lot inside of you as a kid who's going, but wait, I love you and I am loyal to you, but that's not showing up that way to you. Am I going to compromise my truth and call the sky purple even though I see blue, and I'm going to lose the thing that makes me me in the relationship with you? Or am I going to maintain me and wrestle with you not being, not feeling loved by me and that space between us that I don't know how to uncreate except to know I love you and to know that you're not getting it and I have to still move forward?
It's a hard thing to do as an adult, much less as a kid.
Yeah, I've definitely stumbled and tripped my way through that. And you know, this is the way that I have found best to have the conversation with my family. And some I'm in conversation with and some not so much, because that's the reality, is that I
Because it's not a conversation, so you can't have a conversation.
Exactly, really. Because there's so many prerequisites that need to be met. And if you being you doesn't meet them, then you, like I said, have a choice to make. Am I going to give up me in order to satisfy you? And I lose me, but I'm with you. That means we're not really having the truth of each other. Is that too much to say? But it's really the truth. So I had to learn how to say things like this. I don't know how to navigate our relationship right now. I know that I love you. I see the whole person of you. I just don't know how to navigate this. So I'm going to step away because I need to look at me so that I can bring all of, I can keep all of me while I'm in the space with you. Those are the kinds of things I learned how to say at a medium young age, like maybe in my 20s, but it didn't go over well. And it still hasn't. I have to be honest.
I'm sorry. Could you please write that down and turn it into a movie? Because I could just see, what is she talking about?
Oh,
I don't know how to
so
navigate. What is this?
Oh,
where
I
did
know
she learn these things?
We did not talk to her this way. Yes.
She didn't learn. She didn't get that from my side of the family.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I've had family members apologize for who I am. You know, I'm sorry.
Two others. Wow.
Yes. You know, so you learn. This is the message I got at kind of a medium young age, too, is that if you can be rejected by your family and still love, bless, and want the best for them, then you're ready to heal the world. And so I think that through the, I think there's value in everything if you will find and create the value in everything. So the hard relationships of my Italian family that didn't understand this weird person of Stacy Confalone, you know, I think they, what was I saying about that? I totally lost my, I said my maiden name and I went, oh crap, now they're going to know.
Hi mom, hi dad.
I know, I'm like, all right.
Oh, that's...
Anyway, they've all changed their names, so I think we're safe. But anyway, the point is that that I think that I just reached a point where I became okay knowing that I could love, bless, and forgive and move forward, and that I was ready to take that healing of knowing that truth and bring it to the world.
Yeah, and to have compassion also, because it's not, I'm not sensing from you that it's about running away from the family. It's about running towards you.
It is. And because I'm such an empath and such an intuit, my skin is like a membrane. It's so thin. And I really feel you when I'm with you. I'm really in your skin. Mm. And so what happens when I get into relationships where people don't have personal boundaries and they don't want you to have them either, I could lose myself really easily. And so it became my journey, like, how do I maintain me with you? Mm. And so I found that I'd have to step away, you know, and go, okay, this is who I am without being that chameleon or being that person who feels another person. And I had to find me again and then re-enter with a different clarity.
You've been finding you over and over and over. And there's a theme here. And what's beautiful about that is it makes sense to me, at least, because you are in many different situations. You play many roles.
Yes.
and you put yourself into some situations, and you've also had some things happen to you, quote unquote, illness and all that. And we'll talk about that actually when we come back. But finding yourself and your strength in each of those places, what a beautiful thing. And I know this is what you share with other people. I know this is what you share in your book, An Unconventional Life. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Stacey Robbins about those kinds of experiences, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Hey guys, this is Michaela. So I'm here to tell you about the DNA Institute. If you haven't heard of it already, I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute treatment not only helped me lose the 30 pounds, it also rebalanced my hormones, healed my metabolic and digestive system, and made my higher functioning brain so loud it became impossible to overeat when I was full. Don't we all want that? So many of my friends and family turned to the Institute after they saw my success. All of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I found this to be so different than anything I'd ever tried before, and it was easier than anything I'd ever done. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a genuine, doctor-prescribed, custom medical treatment made just for you. It doesn't matter what your situation is or how much weight you have to lose. I believe the Institute will get you to your goal. My experience is that this is more than just a weight loss system. It's a biohack to a better way of looking, feeling, and living. When I started, I had never heard of the DNA Institute, but the fact that they've been in Beverly Hills since 1982 gave me a real peace of mind. Now that you've heard of them, click on the DNA ad at lifechangesshow.com and get your customized formula started today. Change your life like I changed mine.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and we're having a great conversation with our guest, Stacey Robbins. And from now on, let's just say Robbins. Stacey. I don't want any trouble.
You know, yeah. You never know who's going to show up at your door.
What you shared and what we talked about, we're laughing and all, but had to have been painful. And then you had other painful things happen. And so one of the things I know you focus on is not only running away from the pain, but you're saying, like, don't waste it. Like, don't lose the gift or something. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's one of the chapters in my book, and I talk about, you know, a woman who came to me for counseling in my coaching business and said, you know, I'm going through this really hard time with my ex and my new person in my life. And I said, what's your intention? Because I ask all of my coaching clients right off the bat, like, what's your intention? Mm. What is the outcome you want to have? And who do you want to be on the way to getting there? That really matters. Because mm-hmm. It's like saying, oh, do you want to lose weight? Yeah, I want to lose weight. Well, you don't want to be a cranky pain the whole way through. You know, you want to be a joyful, peaceful person on the way to losing your weight. Mm. You know, so you know, what's the result you want to have and who do you want to be on the way there? And she said, I want to be a peaceful person and I don't want to waste the pain. And I loved what she said. And it made me think of all these strong women in my life, like my friend Sam, whose daughter ended up with cancer when she was 4 years old, and how she walked her through that while she was also going through a divorce. And I just thought, she doesn't have the luxury to go and avoid things. She has to press in and find the usefulness that's in the pain. And I really resonate with that. Mm. And I remember when my boys were talking to me when they were little, they were maybe 8 and 6, something like that. And they're at the kitchen table and I'm at the kitchen counter cooking again, because good Lord, they eat all the time. And they were saying something to me about my childhood, and they were like, Mom, you're a really patient mom, and I know that not everybody was patient with you, and thanks for being patient with me the other day when I hit my brother. Like, it became one of those things, and I had this moment, I was like, I had a good childhood. Yeah, there were hard moments, and there were hard qualities to it, but it made me sad that they might be connecting me to only a painful childhood, even though there were moments like that. And I just said, hey, you guys, can I tell you something? And I said, my mom and dad did not have to be perfect. And I said, they don't. And I said, I don't have to be perfect. And I realized, gosh, I'm talking to an 8 and 6 year old. How do I do this? And I finally said, okay, who wants to be a ninja? And they both raised their hand, you know, really high, and they're excited and like jumping out of their seat. And I was like, okay, well, what do ninjas do? And they said, well, they get to the roof, and then they go to the top of the trees, and they do this and they do that, and it's always on the high places. And I was like, really? How do they get to the top of the roofs? And they said, well, they go on the rock and they jump to the rock, and then they jump from the rock to a branch, and then they jump from the branch to another ledge, and then they jump from the ledge to the roof. And I was like, really? I said, wow. I said, are all the rocks and the branches and the ledges in perfect places? And they were like, no, no, it's really hard. And I'm like, well, then what do? And they said, they learn how to jump. And I was like, so they jump better. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm a ninja. And I said, you know what? Because the things that were strong in my parents and how they raised me and the things that weren't, they both taught me something. And I said, and those things that were, you know, weak places, I learned how to jump better because my eye isn't on the weak places. My eye is on the high places. And so that's really what I did. And I said, that's why my mom and dad don't have to be perfect, and I don't have to be perfect, and daddy doesn't, and you don't either. You will just learn how to jump better and get to the high places. And I felt the relief for all of us that in the generations that weren't in the room and the generations that were, that there's relief that you don't have to be perfect. You can just learn how to jump better to get to the place you want to be in life. And so for me, I think I always just wanted to be this person of love and grace and truth and humor and be that. And I'll use anything to get there. That's my superpowers. I can use anything in my life for my good.
Wow. I'm not a dad, but if I were, I think I would use that. I think I'd say, hey, kids, come here. I have something to tell you. I'm not perfect. And where I'm not perfect, that's where you're going to learn to jump.
Because
you're going to be a ninja someday. Yeah. I like that. I really do, actually. And from your story, I got how not only you work with your kids, your family, with yourself, but also with your clients. And I like that. Actually, you have some pretty unconventional ways of doing things. And I know you mentioned this to me before, but I actually think I read an article. I really think I read this article. I really do. About what? I don't even know where to start this conversation.
Did you see me on the news?
I think I saw that a few years back. This mom and dad, or I think it was the mom, had decided to like shut off all the lights. not forget technology. It was like, we're going to shut the lights.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. The story is a little bit more than that. But I was going through a health bump that had different iterations for the last 25 years. And so you kind of think you're through one segment of it, and then it kind of morphs into something else during certain seasons. So the thing that I was diagnosed with 24 years ago, then had a different kind of iteration about 10 years ago. And so I was trying to find my way and go, how do I bring some homeostasis and peace to my body in the best way I can, living in Orange County and, you know, a neighborhood and with two kids, I'm homeschooling and, you know, life changing dramatically because I couldn't work. I mean, seriously, it was kind of a wild thing where my husband's working and I couldn't work anymore. And I was really a strong co-provider, but an entrepreneur. And when I didn't work, there was no money. And things got to the point where literally we had money for 2 weeks out of the month. And then the other 2 weeks we were standing on food lines. Like I went from being a person who has a nonprofit organization that feeds hungry people. And we became those people during that weird season. So I was dealing with this dizziness that lasted for like 15 hours a day. And in my clear times, my few hours of clarity and clear thinking, I was like, what could we do? And I thought, you know what? What if we were to create an indoor camping experiment? What if all that good groovy juju you get when you're out in the woods and you get that sense of calm and zen is something that I could replicate here in my home? Well, how would I do that? And I thought, well, let me take down this the flow of electricity and see if that stimuli, because I'm sensitive to those kinds of things, I'm sensitive to that stimuli. What if I were to take everything down, take the breakers off for all of the breakers except for two in the house? And I thought, this is a good idea, isn't it? And so I throw it out to my husband, you know, who's used to sitting in an air-conditioned office and really enjoys that. And I said, what do you think? And he was like, I'm willing. And I was like, that is your superpower. Thank you for being willing. Because I am like Lucy, and he is like Ricky, and I have come up with a couple
Lucille
of hairbrains.
Ball and yes. Ricky Ricardo?
Yes. You know, and my husband has a permanent bruise in the middle of his forehead. Yes. So I suggest this idea. I mentioned it to the kids, and of course, they're all excited. And all of us forgot it was August and that it was going to be hot that month. And I was choosing to turn everything off except for the refrigerator and the washer and dryer and the dishwasher. That was pretty much it. And we were going to live by candlelight. So that was my thing. I thought, let's create camping on the inside, all that good feeling. So I said, let's do it for 30 days. And then we're going to go to the Redwood Forest and we're going to experience nature. And the boys were like, woohoo, yay. So we start living this out. And you're like, on day one, you're like, oh my God, there are Legos on the floor after dark. I did not see those, but I'd created a whole new vocabulary when I went to tuck my children in the pitch black, you know, and or, you know, coming out of the bathroom and thinking that that candle that looked really charming on the toilet, like nearly lit you on fire when you were pooping because you forgot you wanted candlelight, but, you know, you all have long hair, you know, and I'm like, okay, so we learned some of those things the hard way. And but what we got out of it was a real sense of togetherness and that sacred connection of dealing with boredom, dealing with I'm not really tired, but the sun is set. There's no lights on. What will we do? How about we all hold each other on the couch? Or how about or even looking out in the neighborhood? You have to know how hilarious this was. Looking out in the neighborhood and there's all these lights and TV glows and stuff and your house is pitch black. And you're like, okay.
Or you have to look at it from the perspective of the neighbors.
How they saw it. It was just a very different time, but I'm so used to being different. I think I'm getting comfortable with that at 50 years old, finally. But anyway, so we did this, and at the end of 30 days, we did go to the Redwoods. And I have to tell you how beautiful it was to go into the forest and to be able to feel the nature's hum and nature's electricity and to be able to experience it because our tuning was different on the inside. And I can't tell you how powerful it was to have my son, my youngest son, when it was time to be in the hotel and go into the shower. Like, we walked into the hotel and never turned a light on because we were so used to being in the dark that at nighttime he wanted to take a shower. He was 7 at the time, I think. And I said, honey, do you want me to turn the light on? He goes, no, Mama, there's enough moon coming through the window. I want a shower in the dark. And I just thought, that's really beautiful. And the boys loved it so much. We lived that way for 4 years. And, you know, because I'm a speaker and I shared
Four years.
4 years, yes. We had a brief stint when we turned it back on for a month when my mom was visiting from the East Coast. I thought we shouldn't freeze our relatives, you know, during the winter. It was during the winter she visited. So, but with the exception of that, it was 4 years.
Wow.
And so what was I saying about that? It was just a really beautiful experience and powerful experience where we got to live together in a really different way. And there was a different calm and a different peace. And what happened was I shared about it at a farm-to-table event that I co-created with some friends. And I was the keynote speaker at the event. They had asked me if I would. And I shared about this. And there were some reporters from the, I almost said the Daily Planet. No, that's Superman. There are some reporters from the Orange County Register there. And they were so intrigued. They said, can we do a story on you? And so they came over, but then ABC News was like, can we come down? They picked it up and they did a huge spread, like 3 pages in the life section. And, you know, and then we were on Yahoo's top 10 list, you know, for a long time. And then people were like, you guys are crazy. When people were like, you're going to kill your children by candlelight. You know, it was just like people were so trolly. And I was like, wow.
I like the fact that you used the word powerful. As well.
Yeah, that's what I do. I try to bring those
juxtaposition.
Yes. Yes. So I was like, wow, people can use anything, even good-hearted people trying to do good things in beautiful ways and turn and twist that around.
Change. Yeah. Unconventional. It's scary. There aren't a lot of people unconventional. There are, but they're out on the I'm distracting myself because I'm thinking the other conversation that you have with kids is, okay, who wants to be a bear? Okay, we're going to hibernate for 4 years in the house.
Yeah, that was not an option.
And at Christmas, we're going to gather all the trees.
Have you lost your mind? I didn't say anything like that. We had a very good time.
No, I'm not making fun of it. I love it, actually. This is why I wanted you to share this story. And I wait, are your kids, are you laughing? Are the kids laughing? They're loving it. Okay, great. So this is wonderful because the life lessons that come out of this, and sometimes we have to do something dramatic in order to be able to see another side of something. And
oh, yes.
You have seen many different sides. When we come back, actually, we're going to talk about some other sides that Stacey could share. She could share so much. Actually, her book is full of these kinds of stories. It's called An Unconventional Life, Where Messes and Magic Collide. And she's also the author of You're Not Crazy and You're Not Alone. And I couldn't agree more. I love that title as well. So if you want to learn more about Stacey, you can go to StaceyRobbins.com. Actually, you can go to the Orange County Register or the Daily Planet or something. But StaceyRobbins.com. Stacey is Stacey and then Robbins, RobbinsRobbins.com. We'll be right back with more of Stacey. And joining us in the next segment will be Dorothy Donahue for our Ask Dorothy segment. And a little later on, Caleb Robbins and Alan Bousteed will be joining us in the studio for live music here, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Stacey Robbins. Stacey, this has been so great, and I look forward to the conversation continuing. But for the moment, share. Let's wrap this up together.
Okay. So I think the thing that I really want to highlight is, you know, because some people are sitting there going, I worked a 9-to-5 job. I am, you know, or I'm taking care of my kids and I'm living in middle America, you know, like whatever it is. And they're going, I don't have an unconventional life. Mm-hmm. I don't plan on jumping on a plane or turning off my power. Mm-hmm. I live in Arizona. I'm not doing that in August. Uh-huh. Or I live in Maine and I'm not doing that in December, you know. And I realize there are certain considerations I didn't have in the same way that other people do. But the thing is that you don't have to wait for life to happen to you to have an unconventional life. And you don't have to do something dramatic. I have found that there are some shifting practices that really help me to see things from a unique angle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what kind of is my unconventional life, is that because you don't want to wait for tragedy to wake you up. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to have to go to Europe to wake up, mm-hmm. right, either. So, like, what could you do? And I think of those things as being what I would call my spiritual practices. And some of the things that I do, like yoga and meditation, those are things that people do. And I think they are very shifting to the brain, and there's a lot of science behind
that. Those used
to
be unconventional, by the way.
They used to, right? That's a good point. Yeah. I do a practice called a 100-day gong. Gong. It's not that big brass thing you hit with a mallet, but it's a Taoist practice, and where you do the same thing for 100 days. And we know that the science says that your nervous system is impressed upon its 66 days, and you literally in your brain build and break lifelong habits at the 90-day mark. Mm. And so in the Eastern tradition of this, people do Qigong and meditation throughout the day, but the West took this, adopted this practice, and adapted it to being whatever you do for 100 days. You can knit a sweater for 100 days. You can learn to dance. You can do 10 push-ups for 100 days. You can ride your bicycle. You could learn a language. You could write a book. Whatever it is that you choose to do for 100 days every day, you do it with integrity. And if you miss a day, you start over, even if you're on day 99. And in the practice of that, you shift your life just by simply doing the same thing every day for 100 days. And I think of that as the 1 degree variable that I remember learning about when I was in fifth grade, when you learn about a ship that can go, you know, one degree difference every day can end up being in a very different direction, even though it's only 1 degree.
Right.
We can do that in our lives. Mm. And so kind of taking that on can shift your perspective on things and therefore create an unconventional perspective on things, a unique perspective that adds a really special and healing voice or helpful voice or wise voice in a world that could use that right now.
You know, it's funny. I don't find you unconventional at all. So what does that say about me?
That we're unconventional together.
I love it. An unconventional life, actually, your book is full of stories like that, and they can inspire people to do some of the things that you've done or to see the magic in some of the experiences or how you looked at them. Mm-hmm. And this is what you, of course, help people do in the retreats or the workshops and in the one-on-ones that you do as a life coach. But really briefly, you have to tell us about your trips to not just Europe, but
Italy.
Italia.
Really quick, yes. It's the homeland for you and me. Yes. My heart, my soul home is in Italy. And that's where my family is from. And I had a dream as a child of being there. But the health bump that I went through really caused a big gap between my dream and my ability to be there. And so, you know, when you're unhealthy, you are really just wanting to be healthy. But once you get your health back, you can start having your dreams back, is what I found. And one of my dreams was to go to Italy, and I've been traveling there the last several years. And as a result, women have been watching me and said, would you create an event that I could come with you? Can I come with you to Italy? And I thought, I can't have all these individual trips. But I created boutique retreats to Italy that are gorgeous in a villa in southern Tuscany where I just got back from 5 weeks in Italy, which sounds just as fabulous as it was. But one of the retreats had thermal baths and mud massages and private tours, a personal chef doing gluten-free food because that's the way I eat. So that's the way we all eat. I'm just going to control the whole environment.
You
go. But it's going to be absolutely delicious and gluten-free, and you're going to feel better at the end of it. And tours, we had energy healing, we had art. I'm also a certified yoga coach in this Renaissance life that I live, so I led meditation and yoga. And we just had a really stunning transformational time. And there's something that shifts you when you do travel away. You really have to get in touch with your brave soul place, because it requires bravery to take the risk to go someplace new where you don't know the language and trust someone to create an experience for you. And it's really healing, and you get in touch with your bravery. So, yeah, that's what I do, and I love it.
Ninja training.
Ninja training. I like that.
So if you want to be a bear or a ninja, go to... I'm sorry.
I don't know where you got just, bear from. I'm going with
bears
ninja.
Bears hibernate, but okay, anyway. Stacey Robbins. Stacey, Stacey Robbins, Robbins.com. Stacey, what a pleasure. I look forward to more.
Thank you.
Thank
me
you
too.
So much.
Sometimes you have to bear with Filippo.
All right, and here's Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy. This is Kate, and I have grown so much in so many ways with your help and guidance. Now that I have recovered from cancer, I am in the best physical shape ever. As we have discussed, I'm in love with a man who has supported me in my healing process by cooking, cleaning, and sharing his gifts of healing that he learned during your workshops. He even goes hiking with me. His support and love have been overwhelmingly wonderful, and the time we share together fills my heart with joy, and we are closer than ever before. My family believes that we need to get engaged and move this relationship to the next level, and I believe that this would be nice. However, he is such a free spirit, and before I got sick, we were together off and on, as he just couldn't commit. We don't live together, and yet we see each other 4 or 5 times a week. I so love being with him and love him with all of my heart. We had broken up before I discovered that I had cancer, and he stepped up right away as a best friend. We didn't get back into a relationship status until a few months ago, and I went into believing that I could simply enjoy great sex and his amazing friendship without any conditions. I know that what we have is amazingly special, and I love my time with him, and I believe he loves me. What can I say to my family when they continue to push me for getting a commitment from him for marriage?
Kate, congratulations on your amazing healing. I applaud the way you did the research and took the steps that rang true as the ones that were right for you, and the results have been amazing. As for your relationship, let's not ask what you can do to make your family happy. Let's ask what you need for a continued blissful relationship. Often our families believe they know what we need to do to be happy, and in so many cases, they are incorrect. Let's first determine if this is your family's issue or is it yours. Do you need a marriage commitment in order to have a fulfilled and joyful relationship with a man who loves you and demonstrates his love for you in so many beautiful ways? I believe our society often rushes us into making commitments without giving the thought needed to make sure that our choices are correct ones. Making a commitment involves dedicating yourself to something, like a person or a cause. Before you make a commitment, think carefully. A commitment obligates you to do something. I intuit that your relationship is much better and more joyful than before because you have gone into it without demanding obligations. We both know that this beautiful man is a free spirit, and it just doesn't make sense to me for you to demand a commitment when you're having such an amazing and wonderful time with him. If it is you who feels like you need a stronger commitment from him, let's consider asking him to commit to continue being the best man he can be in this relationship. You can commit to continuing to be the best woman you can be and free yourself from your apparent need to satisfy your family's desires to have you follow what they believe is better for all involved. If you are happy with him and he is happy with you, then rejoice in what you have. Since it's only been a few months with him in this new way of simply allowing love without conditions, let's find a way to continue to explore this way of relating and enjoying each other without placing demands on one another. Simply listening to these words of wisdom may help. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with Caleb Robbins and Alan Bustede here on the Life Changes Show after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com,
and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Stacy Robbins. And joining us in the studio is Stacy Robbins' son, Caleb Robbins, and Alan Bousteed. So before we move on to Alan, Caleb is not only Stacy Robbins' son, but we should probably mention Rock Robbins, his father, who's also here with us. And he's a 16-year-old who's passionate about life. He's a singer, he's a percussionist, and he's going to be singing for us. Welcome, Caleb, to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
It's great to have you here. What's it like to be in a live studio ready to sing for millions of people?
Ever so slightly nerve-wracking, but I've kind of come to peace with it. Oh, so
I'm glad, actually. We had a conversation, actually, before the show, which was what I was hoping was like the hardest conversation, so that by the time you got in here, boy, you've been through the hardest.
Yeah. That was. Thank you for like getting me warmed up for that. That felt really good. I was just kind of like, who?
No, I mean, with your mom being a life coach and me being a life coach, I mean, you know, we were both sitting there saying, okay, yeah, we don't ask light questions. So Caleb, who are you? Don't worry, I'm not asking. We've come to know you, and you're about to sing a special song. But before you do, you evidently were a percussionist ever since you were in your mom's belly.
Yes. That was quite funny. Shall I?
Sure.
Okay. So
now you don't remember this, but you were told.
Yeah.
Or maybe you do.
I kind of remember something.
Oh, okay. Then.
But nonetheless, when I was in my mother's stomach, I just pounded away, just like with my little fist, probably just going and just making all the. Those are not really good drum noises, but you know what I mean.
He's a beatboxer.
Yeah, but I was playing around and just drumming, and my mother, she was just so, she was so tired. She needed to sleep, and she was...
I can't imagine.
Yeah, but at some point...
Having a little drummer boy inside of you.
My mom was just, like, so tired, and she was, like, almost, like, so done with it, so my dad... leaned down next to her stomach, and he said, "Hey, Caleb, you have to. Your mom super tired. She needs a rest. We need you to just like stop for a moment." And then suddenly, I went still.
Wow.
And I stopped.
Wow.
And my mom slept, and she had a really good night's rest. And for that, I'm really happy.
What a great story.
He's always been such a good boy. Even in the womb.
And that your dad knew to do that, that's amazing. And that connection was happening, obviously. Well, you are a percussionist now, but today you're here to sing. And the person who actually introduced us to both your mom and to you is Alan Bousteed, who had been on the show before. And I had known him. I actually knew him as a violist, but come to find out, Alan, you also play the violin, you're a concert master, and you play the piano, and you also teach voice coaching and all this kind of stuff. I didn't know all this about you. I'm glad this happened, so now I do. Welcome to the show again.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you. You know, Shenandoah is the first song that accompanied at his house, Caleb. I had seen him at a church, and they were talking about what they learned in Sunday school. And every time they talked to the different kids. And when Caleb's turn came up to say something, he had this Bing Crosby baritone, and he owned the space around him, and all the kids were like, you know, look at him and like, oh, what's he going to say this time? And so I went up to him and I said, you know, I've been singing in choirs. I was a boy soprano when I was a kid, and I'm interested in doing more vocal accompanying now. And would you be willing to take lessons? Little did I know that his parents were both, you know, accomplished musicians and teachers.
I know. We didn't even talk about that. Oh, my God. Stacy's done so many things on so many stages with so many people. But anyway, back to you.
Well, but anyway, we're going to cut to the chase because this could take a long time. So Shenandoah is the first song that we did together as teacher and student. He, you know, we vocalized and he made a big, beautiful sound. Interestingly, I knew that he had the deep baritone sounds, but at the first lesson, I was just red in the face when he kept going up and up and up, and it got even more beautiful as he went into his upper register. So as a result of knowing his voice, I wrote an arrangement, being a violinist and string player, for violin and cello. It has rubatos and solos, and it's a very rhapsodic arrangement.
And joining us for the violin part is our friend Robert Matsuda, who we've known through the Enlightenment Music Series Foundation for years. He's actually on the board. Welcome, Robert. And joining us on cello is Jane DeLisi, who are going to be playing your arrangement of Shenandoah. Now, you shared before the show started, before you start playing, really briefly, you shared something I did not know about the song. I assumed, maybe like a lot of people, that Shenandoah was about a river. But evidently, it's obviously much more than that. Please share with us what it's about.
Yeah, well, in early America, there were trappers and hunters, you know, who were loners who lived in the Wild West. And in many cases, they had more contact with the native people than they did with the Europeans in the cities with whom they traded with.
Ah.
And so this particular trapper basically knew the Indians, dealt with the Indians a lot, and he fell in love with the daughter of the chief, which is, of course, is kind of verboten. The song is basically a discussion about the river being the thing that separates him and the life that he could have if he were to join the native people in the life and their life, which he loved so much. So this song, the river, represents that which he has to cross in order to be able to have the fulfillment of his love and life.
Wow. I never knew that. Thank you so much, Alan.
Well, and Caleb brings it across.
Well, here is Caleb Robbins singing, accompanied by Alan Bousteed on piano, as well as the arrangement was written by him. And then, of course, Robert Matsuda on violin and Jane DeLisi on cello. Here is Shenandoah live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Away, oh, why Missouri? Shenandoah, the sun is shining. Oh, my love, I will find you, and I will ford that river away, away, so near, so far. The wide, the rolling Missouri.
Caleb Robbins, congratulations. Thank you so much. Oh, I could tell he's proud of himself. I wish we had. Did you get a picture of that moment? That was awesome. How do you feel?
Bit shaky.
And now how do you feel?
It's amazing.
coming off the shakiness, and I'm feeling very at peace now. I feel very happy.
De-shakified.
Yeah.
De-shakified. Well, this is a first, and how wonderful that it's you two. We've never had a parent be the guest and a child or an offspring be the musical guest. So it's a first and very special, and thank you very much, both of you, Stacey Robbins and Caleb Robbins. Well done. Thank you. And Alan Bousteed, thank you so much for introducing us to him. And, you know, you wrote that arrangement, and then we talked about you doing a second piece of yours, and you were so gracious to say, I'd like to do a piece of somebody else that we know and love. And so who is that?
Well, several of us have a friend in Jeremy Gillian. Mm-hmm. Jeremy is one of the principal pianists for the dancing school at the Coburn Community School and the Coburn School proper. Mm-hmm. And he's also a composer. He was a former music director for music theater at the Los Angeles High School of the Arts. And he's just a wonderful composer. And I asked him, I said, you know, we're going to play this thing, and we have your good friend.
This thing, you mean, I'm sure you said, we have the honor of being on the Life Changes show.
That's exactly what I said. And I said, we have this opportunity. And so I want to play some of your beautiful music, and we can make a little introductory, and basically we have an introduction and then a jig that we're going to play.
A jig. How wonderful. Okay, and all three of you are going to play this, right?
Together.
Okay, so what is the piece called?
One is called Lilac Fairies Tendue and the Chaussée.
Oh, okay.
That's the jig.
That's the jig.
That's the jig, yeah. The 6-8, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say here are two pieces by Jeremy Gillian, performed by Alan Bousteed, Robert Matsuda, and Jane DeLisi, live here on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you so much. And kudos to Jeremy Gillian.
Yay, Jeremy, indeed.
I got to premiere two pieces here on the show with actually the two of you, Alan and Robert. What a special moment that was.
It was. Beautiful.
So thank you for bringing that piece in, and thank you for bringing in Robert Matsuda and Jane DeLisi. A pleasure having you both. And Alan Bustede, thank you also for introducing us to Stacey Robb. You almost guest co-produced this episode, so
no.
Almost entirely you. Thank you so much, and Caleb, congratulations, and look forward to hearing your voice more. Stacey, what a pleasure. Look forward to more of you. Period. This is our show. Let's start by thanking Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you all that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.